It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Ladies and gentlemen, 15 years ago, at 9:37 a.m., the Pentagon was attacked. Please join us in observing a moment of silence to remember those who perished.
All right, Sandy Rios with you in the morning. That was the ceremony at the Pentagon yesterday morning, and that announcement was supposed to have taken place and that moment of silence observed at exactly 9:37 when the first plane hit the towers. But guess what? Let me read what the Daily Caller says. A moment of silence remembering the September 11th victims at a Pentagon memorial service began early in order to accommodate a restless President Obama, a Department of Defense official told the Daily Caller. A source close to the situation told the Daily Caller that Obama arrived early to the memorial service, which took place at the Pentagon, and wanted to get things started early. A Department of Defense official confirmed that the moment of silence was moved up a few minutes and that Obama was the one who made the decision, saying the president moved early. So the exact hit of the plane and the towers at 9:37 was not observed because the president was in a hurry. I find that very interesting because the president is notoriously late for everything that he attends. He makes people wait 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. He's never early. But on this occasion, he was early. And I, you know, my most negative stereotype is that was it because of like maybe some playoff games or something? Just wondering, since he never is early, why was that so important for him to be early? I don't know. I know of all the things I could talk about why that, but it really, really struck me. There were lots of beautiful ceremonies yesterday, a lot of beautiful things said, and of course, the names of the victims at the World Trade Center read. And, of course, the Benghazi victims now have been added to that because it took place also on 9/11. And I want to read for you, this is an article that was actually on Fox News this morning, but it's worth taking the time to just read most of it because this is from the Deputy Chief of Mission for Libya. He's retired now. And he said, I was the last person in Tripoli to speak with Ambassador Chris Stevens before he was murdered in the September 11th, 2012 attack on Benghazi. On this, the fourth anniversary of that tragedy, I would like to offer a different explanation for Benghazi's relevance to the presidential election than is usually found in the press. Just as the Constitution makes national security the president's highest priority, U.S. law mandates the Secretary of State to develop and implement policies and programs to provide for the security of all United States personnel and official duty abroad. This includes not only the State Department employees, but also the CIA officers in Benghazi on September 11th of 2012. And the Benghazi record is clear. Secretary Clinton failed to provide adequate security for U.S. government personnel assigned to Benghazi and Tripoli. Then he goes on to enumerate how Ambassador Stevens asked for 13 additional American security personnel, was repeatedly denied by Pat Kennedy. Mrs. Clinton's response was, it was not my ball to carry. You know, I wasn't me. I didn't do that. I didn't know. And he says her decision to allow the Benghazi consulate to be separate from the CIA annex divided scarce resources and a progressively deteriorating security environment. And he goes on to talk about other instances where there had been dangerous incidents in other embassies and they had learned to use one facility so that they could double up their protection. And she ignored that. He also says, you know, no one will ever hold her to account except for the American people in the election. He said the record shows that Secretary Clinton persuaded the president to overthrow Gaddafi and advocated maintaining a diplomatic presence in Benghazi after the Libyan revolution. And then She abandoned her diplomats by ignoring her security obligations. She sent Ambassador Stevens to Benghazi during the 2011 revolution and then induced him to return in the first few months of his tenure, which accounted for his September visit there. Despite the fact that Sidney Blumenthal had alerted her to the increasing danger for Americans in Benghazi and Libya, Mrs. Clinton apparently never asked security professionals for an updated briefing on the situation in Libya. And it goes on and on. He talks about how she was grossly negligent and how he thinks all of this comports to her electability and to whether we should elect her commander-in-chief. Again, this is written by the Deputy Chief of Mission for Libya. We'll put this on our Facebook page. Remember also that we know now from the leaked email that Mrs. Clinton specified, and now we know it was actually Chelsea Clinton who wrote this email on the secured server, that Bob Menendez, who was the chairman of the committee that she appeared in front of to testify about Benghazi, was instructed to ask her two questions to get these two nasty, icky kinds of things off the table, which he did. We have audio of this. The very first two questions out of Bob Menendez's mouth were the pandering questions he was told to ask of her, and that was, where was she the night of the attack? And secondly, why didn't she respond to Chris Stevens' request for extra security? So she was able to neutralize that at the top of the meeting. So that I think is important. Yesterday was the anniversary of the deaths of those four Americans. I guess you could say maybe they were part of that basket of deplorables that Hillary Clinton talked about at the lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual fundraiser on Friday night with Barbara Streisand. And we're going to get to that in just a second, too. But perhaps at the top of the heap more than that is yesterday at the memorial at Ground Zero after 90 minutes at the memorial. Mrs. Clinton left, said she was overheated. It is an incredible story. I'll let Ed Henry tell it.
Breaking this morning, as you say, Hillary Clinton canceling this two-day trip to California as Donald Trump heads right back on the campaign trail today. He's going to be in Maryland as well as North Carolina. These new questions about not just Clinton's health, but also her veracity, her transparency, all sparked by this dramatic video. She abruptly left the 9/11 memorial on the 15th anniversary of the terror attacks. You can see her slump. A Secret Service agent there tries to help her into the van. She had arrived at the event appearing well. Trump and other dignitaries were there, the governor, the mayor, various former and current police commissioners. And while the campaign later said Clinton was overheated, the weather in New York City yesterday was about 82 degrees and milder than it had been in recent days. You can see her arriving there. This comes after Clinton's recent coughing fits and questions about her health. Yet she left the ceremony without bringing the reporters who normally travel with her. In fact, journalists were kept in the dark for about 90 minutes as she started to leave there. Fox's own Rick Leventhal was on the scene, though, and he broke the story from a law enforcement source that said Clinton had some sort of medical episode and had slumped into the van, as you can see from that second angle of the video. While the reporters were left at Ground Zero, Clinton was then taken in her motorcade to her daughter Chelsea's Manhattan apartment. At that time, Clinton spokesman Nick Merrill put out a statement declaring the following. Secretary Clinton attended the September 11th commemoration ceremony for just an hour and 30 minutes this morning to pay her respects and greet some of the families of the fallen. During the ceremony, she felt overheated, so she departed to go to her daughter's apartment and is feeling much better. No mention there of pneumonia in that statement, which they later disclosed she has. No mention by Secretary Clinton about pneumonia as she left the apartment and said she was feeling well.
This is really an interesting story, and it has to be concerning to all Americans, really. Ed did a good job telling it. He's not quite finished. We're going to play the other half of this in just a second. But she left the ceremony and no one knew. Now, this is kind of hard for us to understand. But what they do now is instead of every single reporter from every single outlet traveling with these candidates, they have a selected pool of reporters. And this smaller pool has access to her, well, him or her, you know, all the time. They meet at their house. They travel with them, except in the case of Hillary Rodham Clinton, who has not allowed the pool to be near her. They've been complaining. They can't. She doesn't let them go to the fundraisers she goes to. There was an exception on Friday night. We're going to get to that because that's probably the biggest story of the morning, really. Even to me, more important than her health episode yesterday. And we'll get to that. But they were there Friday night, and they reported that, what she said at this lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender a fundraiser, which raised $3 million. But in regard to her health yesterday, so she left the ceremony. No one seemed to know, and the Secret Service seemed to be behind the eight ball because, as the video will show you, the van pulls up, but she has to actually wait for it, which is, that never happens. It's always there waiting for the person that's being protected. There is a video from two angles we're going to post. I think it's Breitbart's account of this. We're going to put this on our Facebook page so that you can look at it. You see, she's standing there really just with one woman initially, and then she starts to wave back and forth, not just a real big wobble. I have to tell you, it doesn't look like just a faint to me, and I'll tell you why I would say that in just a second. And then when she gets close to the van, she stumbles, and the Secret Service stand in front of her so that you can't see, and she loses a shoe. We can't see that, but reports say that. Now, no reporter was anywhere to show this. There was no one available. The only reason we know this is because a woman standing on the street took a video of it, and another person, who I can't recall the circumstances, took a video from the other angle. But there was no press around. Otherwise, we wouldn't know this. So then the report came out that she was overheated. But now we know that the weather was beautiful. Now, the New York Times reported, because they shill for her, that it was very humid. But the Weather Channel said it was not humid at all. It was a lovely day. It was just 75 to 77 degrees. It was hardly little cool, breezy, no humidity. She said she was overheated. The campaign did. She has this episode, which looks terrible, frightening. And where did the Secret Service take her? To the hospital, you think? No. They take her to Chelsea's apartment. She's there for a while, and then she emerges, and she's chatting by herself, walking. Oh, yeah, I feel fine. And she stops to pat a little girl along the street, and they show video, pictures of that. And then her doctor comes out and says, oh, no, she has pneumonia. We diagnosed it on Friday. She has pneumonia. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is really, first of all, there are so many things to say. If you're diagnosed with pneumonia on Friday, then you don't necessarily carry on. I actually know something about this. I had pneumonia in both my lungs about 5 or 6 years ago. So I know something about it. You don't do that. You actually go to ground zero yourself because you can't. Pneumonia is so serious. It kills people. It still does kill people. So that makes no sense whatsoever that she would just go to Chelsea's house, be hydrated, and then just walk out and be fine. It doesn't work that way with pneumonia. Any of you who've had it know that. And also, I would just point to a video that we put on our Facebook page last week. Now, this is a doctor from New Jersey. He says quite clearly he's not her doctor, but he has been practicing for 36 years. And from his perspective, what he thinks he sees with Hillary Clinton's medical episodes is Parkinson's. And he goes in great detail. And I have to say that when I saw her wobbling yesterday, it looked a great deal like that to me as well. I'm not a medical person. No, but he goes on to explain that the coughing, Parkinson's, affects your swallowing. I know this from my own daughter who had terrible swallowing problems, many other problems, a constant cough and choking because you can't properly swallow. So these things add up. We also know that in some of the email that were exposed through the leaking process that Hillary inquired about medications for Parkinson's, one in particular. We know about those email. I'm just saying, if you think there's no joy in reporting something like this. This is tragic for her and her family if this is the case. But it's also tragic for the country. If she's trying to cover it up, and be elected into office to be the president of the United States when she perhaps has so serious a medical problem. And what's with a doctor who would diagnose in such a political way, which it certainly appears to be that to me. But I don't know, but we're going to find out. And we're going to talk more about this after the break, plus the comments that she made on Friday night. So stay tuned. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
Would you make one of the most important phone calls that you can make as far as your economic, your financial stewardship? I believe that permanent income is incredibly important to us, especially when you're retired. Listen, one thing we know for certain, the consumption of goods and your cost are never going to change. Make sure that you protect your income. Social Security, you will likely have maybe a pension. Add to permanent income with a charitable gift annuity and do the Lord's work. There's no better organization to do it with than the AFA Foundation, and no better time in our economy than right now.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Freedom is an amazing gift from God, and He's given us an incredible number of heroes charged with the job of protecting Him. I'm Eric Horner, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of doing something really special for those who've answered freedom's call. On Saturday, September 17th, Operation Tankful of Love, in partnership with American Family Radio, will again be working to bless the men and women serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with a gift of some free gas.
Living the life of a soldier is rough with being away from family and having to deal with just the environment that's there sometimes, and this kind of stuff raises morale.
The sacrifice that you guys make makes the sacrifice that we make so much worth it.
If you'd like to be a part of Operation Tankful of Love 2016, you can give us a call at 877-968-3742 to make your tax-deductible donation. You can also donate online by going to tankfulofloveof.com. Won't you join us in being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who serve?
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. It wasn't that long ago when the Boy Scouts sacrificed their core values on the altar of political correctness. In the aftermath of that sad, sad moment, a group of Christian men decided to take a stand. They formed a new organization for boys, one that would not compromise on the fundamentals of the faith, a group that still teaches outdoor and adventure skills, a group that instructs boys on how to properly use a firearm. That group is called Trail Life USA, and today more than 25,000 boys are members, Trailmen, an outdoor adventure program that is unapologetically Christian, instructing young men through biblical moral values. And that's why I believe Trail Life USA is one of the most important organizations in modern American history. TrailLifeUSA.com is their website. Dads, check it out. Moms, encourage your husbands to check it out, because our nation needs a few good trailmen. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Clinton then headed to her home in Chappaqua again without the reporters who normally travel with her. At her house, she was examined by her doctor, Lisa Bardak, who then put out this statement disclosing the illness from Friday that they had not mentioned. Secretary Clinton has been experiencing a cough-related allergies. On Friday, during follow-up evaluation of her prolonged cough, she was diagnosed with pneumonia. She was put on antibiotics and advised to rest and modify her schedule. While at this morning's event, she became overheated and dehydrated. I have just examined her, and she is now rehydrated and recovering nicely. Remember, all this happening exactly 2 weeks before the first presidential debate. A new ABC News poll asked how much of an impact the three debates will have on their vote. 77% said minor or no impact, which means over 20% say they could be persuaded by these debates. And you can see now Republicans saying it's time for a lot more of Hillary Clinton's health records to be released. People close to the Clinton camp now saying, wait a second, Donald Trump needs to release his health records and his tax records.
There's actually talk that some on the left are getting ready to meet and try to figure out how to replace her as a candidate. I think that's interesting. And I think probably, if I had to make a political prediction, probably more dangerous for Donald Trump than leaving her in the race at this point. But I, you know, who knows? I mean, who knows what, I mean, how much pressure? It seems the Clintons have such a stranglehold over the Democratic establishment. It would take a heaven and earth. I mean, Donald Trump made a statement, you know, a typically in politic statement. I think he said something about Mrs. Clinton could shoot someone. I think she said, he said, I think it was 20th Street in New York, and she wouldn't be convicted, you know, over the top statement. But he really, honestly, the point is well made that nothing she does seems to comport against her. The New York Times is still defending her. Now, the Washington Post this morning came out with a, this is pretty incredible because they have shilled for her. Let me just read this because I think it's in here. Chris Saliza, who is, no, it's not in this article. It's in another one I'll share in a second. Chris Saliza, Washington Post reporter, is just all hammering Republicans and conservatives for talking about Mrs. Clinton's health. And you know, you've heard a lot of those, even if you didn't know where it was coming from. You know that there's tremendous criticism against anyone who's been worried about her coughing. And I posted a video of her strange, very, really, again, Parkinson's-like wobble when these reporters startled her, these young reporters. We put this on our Facebook page again, I believe last week as well, maybe the week before, because I do sense that there's something. And initially, like when she said she had a concussion and she fell, I was a real skeptic because she's always using health problems as an excuse. And that's when she was supposed to testify over Benghazi. But honestly, I think that video of her with the with reporters where she's, her head was, her eyes were so wide, her head was so incredibly abnormal in her wobbliness. And then she says it's the chai tea. That was the turning point for me. I thought this something is really wrong here. This is not an exaggeration. And so when the coughing came out, you know, I know you can cough. I have allergies myself. I take stuff every morning because otherwise I choke here on the air. So I get that. But hers is so extreme and so out of control that it made sense to me when I read that Parkinson's can cause that and the swallowing problems. But now the Washington Post is printing an article. And speaking of that, I'm going to choke here. Hang on a second. Because, you see, I did take my medicine this morning. Washington Post, their headline is, says Hillary Clinton's health just became a real issue in the presidential campaign. They've never said that. And Chris Saliza, their reporter on this, has just charred anyone who has criticized Hillary Clinton's health. So that's a very big deal. It says Clinton may well be totally fine, and I certainly hope she is, but we are 58 days away from choosing the person who will lead the country for the next 4 years, and she is one of the two candidates with a real chance of winning. Taking the Clinton team's word for it on her health in light of the episode on Sunday morning is no longer enough. Reasonable people can and will have real questions about her health. Now, that really is amazing that the Washington Post is actually saying that. So just note that. Now, Friday night, I mentioned that there was a fundraiser at a restaurant in New York City. It was a $1,200 dinner, $1,200 to $250,000 each person gave. It was a group of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender attendees. Barbara Streisand hosted it, and this was part of her offering a parody on Donald Trump to her song, Send in the Clowns. Let's listen.
Is he that rich? Maybe he's poor. Till he reveals his returns, who can be sure? If he were running the free world, where would we move? Name me a town just who is this clown?
All right, so that's the first part of it. And it's so sad for me in some ways because I used to be, many years ago, was such a Barbara Streisand fan. But, oh, she has merged so much of her politics into public life. Remember, she was a strong supporter of Bill Clinton. She was one of the ones that paid to stay in the Lincoln bedroom, which was appalling at the time. Now we're sort of used to that. Sell, you know, people coming to the White House when you're president and charge them for staying in the Lincoln bedroom and make money for your campaign. That's okay, right? I guess so. I guess that's innocent compared to what we're seeing now. But she has said recently in an August interview on 60 Minutes that she's going to move to Australia if Donald Trump is elected. Okay, well, that's funny, and the parody is funny. I agree, totally. And he is funny. And he could be the object of that song without too much trouble. But I think that we are in such a serious situation. And I think the most serious thing is what Hillary Clinton said at that fundraiser. Now, this, of course, is the first time, as I told you, the pool reporters were allowed to come to one of her fundraising events. They have not been allowed to do that. So they were there to report this, and they caught this on tape and on camera. And you need to hear it. Here's Mrs. Clinton Friday night at the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender fundraiser.
We are living in a volatile political environment. You know, to just be grossly generalistic, you could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. And unfortunately, there are people like that. And he has lifted them up.
Just to be grossly generalistic, you could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call a basket of deplorables, right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. So right away, of course, her supporters were excusing her, saying, oh, well, no, she didn't. There are a lot of extremists, you know, David Duke and other people that are supporting Donald Trump. And so she's accurate and she was just careless or whatever. And so then she comes out with an apology. She said, I shouldn't have said half. That was her apology. I shouldn't have said half. And I shouldn't speak in generalities, that I just shouldn't do that. But we find out this is not the first time she said this. She was on Israeli television just a few days before that, and this is how she said it.
I never expected an easy race. If I were to be grossly generalistic, I'd say you can take Trump supporters and put them in two big baskets. There are what I call the deplorables, you know, the racists and the, you know, the haters and the people who are drawn because they think somehow he's going to restore an America that no longer exists. So just eliminate them from your thinking, because we've always had a kind of paranoiac, prejudicial element within our politics.
You know, I wanted you to listen to those two things again. In this tape with the Israeli reporter, she is in her schoolmarm mode, the soft lighting, her hair's beautifully combed and well done. She has her hands folded at her chest. And so she's delivers the same information, but it comes across differently. Let's listen to that just one more time. This is with the Israeli reporter. I think this was September 8th or 9th.
I never expected an easy race. If I were to be grossly generalistic, I'd say you can take Trump supporters and put them in two big baskets. There are what I call the deplorables, you know, the racists and the, you know, the haters and the people who are drawn because they think somehow he's going to restore an America that no longer exists. So just eliminate them from your thinking, because we've always had a kind of paranoiac, prejudicial element within our politics.
All right, so that was the soft-brushed Mrs. Clinton. But Friday night at this fundraiser, even her appearance was different. Her hair was not as coiffed. Her brows were thicker. Her voice was more edgy. In fact, I'll just let you hear it for yourself. This is, she is with, you know, it is different. I know this as a speaker. When you're with your friends, you speak differently than when you're on a stage and you're trying to appeal to all kinds of people and win an election. Well, she was with her own people on Friday night, and this is how she delivered it. Let's listen to it again.
We are living in a volatile political environment. You know, to just be grossly generalistic, you could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. And unfortunately, there are people like that. And he has lifted them up.
All right, so the basket of deplorables. And I want us to stop and think about this for a second. The racist, now from her definition, that would be people that oppose Obamacare. Remember, we're racists. That would be people that say all lives matter. They're racists. That would be policemen who she refused to meet with. And I could go on and on with who's racist. Sexist, people that believe in traditional values of men and women and don't believe that the genders are the exact same. They are the sexists from her perspective. The homophobic, that would be people like American Family Association supporters and listeners who believe that bathrooms should be assigned to men and women separately according to their biology. Not their brain, not their wishes, not their desires. That would be homophobic. People that don't believe that marriage, know for sure that God has ordained marriage to be between one man and one woman, not between two men or two women or three or however many. That would be the homophobic. The xenophobic, that's people who love this country, people who are patriotic, who wear don't tread on me, wave their flags. Believe America should be first, believe we should have borders. That's xenophobic. And then Islamophobic, people that actually believe the Muslim Brotherhood memorandum when they say they're going to destroy our miserable house from within, we actually believe it. We're trying to get out the word about that, that there is a danger to have unguarded Islamic immigration and absolutely unguarded, putting key people in the Islamic world into key positions in Homeland Security, having the Director of Homeland Security go to a Holy Land co-conspirator organization, the Islamic State of North America, to speak at their convention and be so happy about it. We actually have a problem with that. We're Islamophobic. And so then she goes on to say something that isn't in some of those clips, and I ask Adam to find it, because she goes on to kind of put a little, not a caveat, but an addendum to what she just said. This is cut four.
And unfortunately, there are people like that. And he has lifted them up. He has given voice to their websites that used to only have 11,000 people, now have 11 million. He tweets and retweets. They're offensive, hateful, mean-spirited rhetoric. Now, some of those folks, they are irredeemable, but thankfully they are not America.
All right, I'm going to read that back to you. She says, remember, we are the basket of deplorables. That's you and me. In case you, unless, I mean, if you're right-wing watch monitoring the show, it's not you. You're not part of the basket. So I guess be glad. She said, unfortunately, there are people like that. And he, meaning Trump, has lifted them up. He has given voice to their websites. That would be Breitbart, probably, for sure, and Drudge and others. They used to only have 11,000 people, but now they have 11 million. He tweets and retweets their offensive, hateful, mean-spirited rhetoric. Now, some of those folks, they are irredeemable, but thankfully, they are not America. Really? Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are not America. Just who is Hillary's America? Ask Dinesh, I guess he made a movie about that. Who is part of Hillary's America? What is it that she's turning America into? To me, this is much more damning than anything that happened yesterday to her candidacy, and I have more to say about it. We'll also open the phone lines. 888-589-8840 is the number. 888-589-8840. I'd like some thoughtful comments, not just, oh, that's a terrible thing that she said, but thoughtful comments. 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Since I've led tours for many years to the Holy Land, Israel, many people ask me, what's your favorite place to go? I have two, really. The Garden Tomb and Calvary, and the Sea of Galilee. Now, I like all the places we stop along the way in Israel, but those two places in particular are very special and meaningful. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be going to all the places you've read about in the Bible since you were a child. It's going to be a very special tour of Israel, the Holy Land, March 9 through 17, 2017. We're taking a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. For all the information on this tour, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or visit the website twholyland.com.
The isolation of Israel, the insurgency of ISIS, the resurrection of Russia. Are these current events warning us the end times are near? Explore 10 critical issues facing our world in Dr. David Jeremiah's upcoming book, People Are Asking, Is This the End? On sale worldwide October 4th. Pre-orders available now for a gift of any amount to Turning Point, which include exclusive pre-order bonus offers. Hurry, offer expires October 3rd. Pre-order your copy at davidjeremiah.org today.
Hello, friend. I'm Pastor Ron Jones, and I'm glad to tell you something good has come to American Family Radio. Something Good is a daily half-hour Bible teaching program that I'm hosting at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. In a world full of so much bad news, we're glad to bring you something good. Learn more at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian health care sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Over the 9/11 anniversary weekend, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and others spoke a lot about the ideology that brought us that act of jihad. Curiously, it was not generally named. The more precise one gets about the ideological impetus behind Islamic terrorism, the more difficult it becomes to draw a distinction between the violent jihadists who seek to impose worldwide what they call Sharia and those who are pursuing the same goal through other means. And the more evident is that reality, the more exposed are those, like many of the weekend's talking heads, who have ignored or empowered the stealthy jihadists of the Muslim Brotherhood. This anniversary and this election are times for holding accountable those whose willful blindness regarding Sharia and the Brotherhood has done much to deny us victory over the global jihad movement 15 years on. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
We are living in a volatile political environment. You know, to just be grossly generalistic, you could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? the racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. And unfortunately, there are people like that. And he has lifted them up.
All right. Yes, he has. She's talking about Donald Trump. And that's amazing. The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, and Islamophobic. A basket of horribles. That's what she calls people who disagree with her on these issues. And you heard the audience laughing. I heard Tucker Carlson talking about this morning. And Tucker's right when he says that this is how the elite feel about America. This is exactly how they feel. The flyover country, the forgettables, the unworthy, the laughable, the object of ridicule. We know that from so many things. And, but this reminded me of something else, and I want to say this before I go to the phones. Phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Now, this may be a little over the top for some of you, but stay with me. Because one thing that we know is in totalitarian societies, one of the ways as we see things move to actually punishing the other, I'm using the word with quotes, with a capital, other people that are like different from us, we disagree with, we absolutely learn to disdain and then hate and want to disregard and marginalize, and then worse, we start dehumanizing them. And I'll give you some examples. Back in Nazi Germany, when they started, before they started gathering people together and actually exterminating them, and not just Jews, they talked about the disabled, they talked about people that were not healthy, they called them useless eaters. They were useless eaters. And eventually the useless eaters were gathered up and taken away, and they disappeared. But they were dehumanized. This was always the precursor. You know, they called the Jews pigs. And the Jews, of course, then were dehumanized, and then, of course, they were exterminated. In this country, we have a history of calling black Americans monkeys. I don't mean we do it now, but that was the case. They were dehumanized, and they were killed and hanged because they were dehumanized. They were given animal names. They were a basket of, you know, horribles. That's what this is where this kind of thinking goes. And then the audience, ah, ha, 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 these people are not worthy. They're not even now called human terms. They are a basket of deplorables. We have that with pigs. Cops now are called pigs. And now it's okay to shoot them because they're just pigs. This is what happens. It's part of human psychology. Don't ask me to explain it. I can't. But when you look at the history of the murder and brutality of one people group to another, there's always a dehumanizing. And I'm not saying that Hillary Clinton is planning on exterminating her basket of horribles, but this is how it starts, is dehumanizing whole populations of people. And I'm just laying out the warning right there. This is spoken from her heart to her people on Friday night without any kind of flourish. She's certainly not laughing. And so I think it's dangerous, and I'm just telling you because I feel compelled to tell you. All right, let me go to the phone lines. Let's go to David in Louisiana. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Yes, comments on Hillary Clinton on wanting to view who is in Trump's basket. Well, let's look in who is in her basket. Number one, we have Hollywood, who is anti-American and Christian. The LGBT, the Muslim Brotherhood, Nation of Islam, Black Lives Matter movement has been taken hostage. They have very good points, but to spread the way they're doing in such a hating manner is what's tearing our country apart. You know, with this Kirkpatrick or this guy with San Francisco, what they're demanding is justice. But at the same time, this guy lied, okay? He made the statement that Santa Clara policemen have murdered people. And that's what these people are standing up for, lies?
You're talking about Kaepernick, right. You're talking about Colin Kaepernick now. Yeah.
Correct. Now, no one has aired this but one time that I've seen. Kaepernick is accusing the police department as murderers. And now he has all these people backing him by the one statement he made about social injustice. You know, where's the Black Panther, or I'm sorry, where's Black Lives Matter in Chicago, where 500 people have been murdered?
Yeah, David, it's despicable. The other part about the Kaepernick thing that drives me fairly insane is that we know you never hear this. You've heard it from me, but you never hear it. I don't hear it anywhere else. His girlfriend is a Muslim. She's an active, strong, Islamic supporting Muslim. She's a DJ for MTV, and so I just think that's part of the story here. And on 9/11 of all things. For them to not stand for the flag on 9/11, which was the time when the Islamists came in to kill us. And by the way, I want to add this other thing. David, you reminded me of this. The day Al-Qaeda's media wing, which is Al-Shabaab, released a video on 9/11 saying, as long as your crimes continue, the events of 9/11 will be repeated thousands of times by the will of Allah. And we will follow you if you don't cease your aggression until the day of judgment. So, it's continuing. This is not going away. And here these football players are following the lead of Colin Kaepernick, who has this Muslim girlfriend and allegedly is very strongly, by those people that know him, very influenced by her. And don't think for a minute that's not the reason why he's not standing for the national anthem. I believe it is, and I think it should be reported. David, some very good points, and I thank you for your comments. Let's go to Jonathan in Illinois. Good morning, Jonathan.
Yes, ma'am. I was calling in relation to the comments made by Hillary Clinton. I've made a statement in the past that has confused some people, because I have said I do not trust Donald Trump. I don't trust him to be a conservative by any means. But I do trust Hillary Clinton. And because of that, I am going to vote for Donald Trump. We see, and this last event where she was saying all of this is a prime example. Anybody who's followed her career for any length of time knows right from the beginning that she has been incredibly radical, and she's not grown or evolved in this direction. This has been who she has been since the 1970s at the earliest. Or at the very latest. This is who she has always been. And people are only just now, a whole new generation is just now finding out that she's always been this creepy type of a character.
There's no question about it, Jonathan. And you can even put, I said this just last week, but I'll repeat. One of her first assignments after law school was to go out and defend the Black Panthers, who were not the new Black Panthers. They were the old ones, the ones that killed people. And so she was very involved with them before she went to Washington to work on the Watergate hearings. And she was fired from that post for stealing documents. Yes, her record is deplorable. Speaking of deplorable, her record is deplorable. And you're right about her assessment. And that's why I harp on it every day. It's part of my DNA. I grew up in broadcasting following her. And it is a nightmare, and so people must know that she cannot. She just seems incapable of telling the truth. I do not believe that Donald Trump is the savior. I think he will disappoint us. We will be heartsick about some of the things that he does and says. But we are in a situation. We have what we have. We have to deal with what we have and make the best choices that we have given those constraints. And that's kind of where we are as a nation. Jonathan, thanks for your comments. Let's go to Texas and talk to Janet. Good morning, Janet.
Yes. I just want to say, when she said, Hillary said deplorable, we that are for Donald Trump, I would reverse that and say, no, we are just remarkable, because we are standing for the Lord God and for the truths of the founding of the United States of America. I'm just saying, Donald Trump is not a perfect man, and there's not a perfect man, only Jesus Christ is. He is the Lord God, and Jesus loves everybody. But I will say this, we have the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and when someone like Hillary can go out and murder babies and be so much for Planned Parenthood, she does not support life. And then also with her disrespect to our military like she did, with Chris Stevens and those that she absolutely allowed to be murdered. No, she is not fit to be the president of the United States of America.
You know, Janet, let me interrupt you. I think part of the extrapolation from what she said about the basket of deplorables is found in her actions. She does not believe some people's lives are that important, including police, including the men in Benghazi, including her ambassador, who she sent over, according to the chief of operations over there, when she knew that the security was, he had begged 14 times for more security. Some people's lives are obviously expendable to her, not to mention the whole list of people surrounding them that have lost, we don't know the mystery of that. Now, that gets into maybe conspiracy, but we know about Benghazi. We know about her actions and her neglect of that evening. We know that she disregards people's lives, and now we know out of her own lips that they are a basket of deplorables that she doesn't care about. And whatever that comports to, whatever that's going to lead to, I can't fill in the blanks, but we don't need anyone in public office who disregards and dehumanizes such a huge part of the American population. Janet, thanks a lot for your comments. Let's go to Ann in Virginia. Good morning, Ann.
Hi, I just wanted to say two things about her comments. One is that her minions, including the media, have been on every single thing that Trump says, which I don't agree with a lot of it, but about what he said about immigrants, and they've been harping on that, and even there's ads with it. She just did that to have the country. She just called half of this country deplorable.
A basket of deplorables.
Yes. And the second thing, though, is that that gives us a perfect picture that we are going to be continuing, if God forbid she becomes president, we will continue to have a president who is going to govern only half the country.
And ignore the others and do heaven knows what. You know, I tell you what, the danger, Anne, too, is real in terms of what the IRS may do to that basket of deplorables and what the other agencies, what the FBI now that seems to be polluted. I don't know. It just seems to have been politicized under the current president. Also, we're so concerned about that. And imagine if all of the federal agencies are unleashed on that basket of deplorables. Now, that's something short of where some of the useless eaters have headed, but it is still a move in the wrong direction. Certainly, the antithesis of freedom and free expression. And we can't allow this. Thank you very much, Ann. Mike, you have the last word. Mike in Virginia.
Hi. I'm glad you touched on that with that last caller. I was wondering if you had a chance to see the article that Limbaugh accessed the other day calling this election the Flight 93 election. I thought that was an incredible article. It was actually aimed at conservative pundits that really don't want to change anything. But it's the gist of the article is that the United States is the plane, the hijackers are the Democrats, and basically Donald Trump is the guy that said, let's roll. And I really struck me pretty deeply, because I started to realize something. This election, really, we're kind of like down to our last strike in the bottom of the ninth inning, because a Hillary victory will give the Democrats the Supreme Court. And if the Democrats have the Supreme Court, that's the end of the Republic, period. The Republic is the thing that makes religious liberty possible. If we don't stop Hillary Clinton now, that is the end of the Republic, and religious liberty is going to be history. So it's kind of we need all hands on deck here for this election. And yeah. People.
All right, Mike, thanks. We're running out of time, but I had heard about that article that Rush read. I didn't see it. My own husband told me about it. So we're going to find that and put it on our Facebook page as well, because he had the same feeling about it that you did. So we'll put that on Facebook on the basis of your recommendation and my husband's too. Mike, it's a good challenge, and I appreciate your listening and your comments, and all of you, as a matter of fact. We'll be back here tomorrow. There was so much more to say. You know there always is. And tomorrow we'll bring another whole cycle of news, but we'll be here. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.